I'm going to read from the Word of the Lord, 1 Timothy, verse 1 to verse 11. As we all know, this is the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And it is also a very relevant letter to us today, especially us who are preparing ourselves to become ministers in different settings and different ministries. I'm reading from verse 1. I'm reading off from the ESV translation. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they made confident assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. This is the word of the Lord. We're going to focus in the preaching on verse 5 mainly. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. I think that we would all agree that we live in a time where there are countless different churches, church groups, ministries, denominations, even cults and sects that we find around us. My congregation, where I am ministering in Brooklyn, we are part of a forum called the CMF, the Campus Ministry Forum. That is all the ministries of any sort that are ministering on campus at the University of Pretoria. And only in that small group, we find over 30 different ministries that are part of that forum. And with all these different churches, obviously there comes a lot of different views, a lot of contrasting doctrines and beliefs, different opinions on matters, some matters that are of less importance, but some serious differences about core beliefs and the essentials of the gospel. This, of course, isn't a new phenomenon. This letter that Paul wrote to Timothy was probably written around 62-63 AD, which means that within the first 30 years of Christianity, there were already people that were teaching a different doctrine, as Paul says here. Right from the outset, the Christian church was under attack from various false teachers, and that has been the case since, and still is the case today. If you look at verse 3 and 4 of this passage that we read together, we see that this is the reason why Paul urged Timothy to stay in Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Now this mission that Paul assigned here to Timothy is just as relevant for us today as we sit here. In fact, I think it is safe to argue that it is even more relevant for us today as we draw closer to the end time. Attacks on the Church of Christ will become more and more severe. And therefore, as Christians, and especially as students who are training to become leaders, or maybe who are already leaders in different ministries and churches, we have the obligation, we have the responsibility to always stay true to the gospel, to be sensitive to false doctrines, different doctrines that may enter the church. We must be sensitive, and we must always be on the lookout for these things, so that we can refute the lies and that we can teach sound doctrine, as Paul also states this in this passage. But with this great responsibility to guard the truth, to fend for the truth, also comes a great danger. And that is a danger of haughtiness, of pride. That is the danger of looking down your nose at someone, thinking you are better because you have the truth and they have a false doctrine. And because of this danger, Paul does not only urge Timothy and to charge the people that are bringing false and different doctrines, but he also states the reason why he urges him to do so. He gives us and for Timothy the purpose, the aim of this charge that he is giving. You see, in the Church of Christ, we should do things differently. Yes, we should guard the truth with all our hearts, but our aim in doing that is never to bring division, never to bring fights, never to bring unnecessary quarrels. It is not just about what is right and what is wrong, and that we should fight for what is right no matter what the cost and what the consequences of that fight may be. If this were the case, then we wouldn't be any different than any other worldly organization. We wouldn't be different than a school or a club or whatever that may be. In a club, you get a set of rules and regulations, and if you break the rules, you get trialed and punished for breaking those rules. There's a right and a wrong, period. There's no love in the equation, because it's all about the matter that is at hand, and not about the person. But in the church, it must be different. Yes, as we have seen, there is matters of right and wrong in the church. And if someone goes on a wrong path, he or she must be disciplined. But the aim is never in the first place to set the matter right, but rather to change the person's heart. Therefore, we read in the first parts of verse 5, the aim of our charge is love. The aim of our charge is love. And of course, love is not a romantic love that we see around us in this world. It's not just a nice feeling, a feeling of always being friendly and never being angry. Love does not mean to overlook wrong things, just to have a false sense of peace and a false sense of stability. Love is not in the first place an emotion. No, this love that we read about here, this is the agape love. This is the self-sacrificial love that Christ has for his church. This is the love that he had when he was leaving heaven to become a man, to even carry our sins on the cross. This is the love that he had in leaving his position in heaven and serving other people, stooping down to lift other people up. This is the love that cannot come from ourselves, but can only be worked in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is changing our hearts. This is the kind of love that Jesus isn't just the example of course he is the best example of this love, but he is also the source of this love that we cannot have without him. So friends, the essence of what we are taught here is that our aim in setting things right that is wrong must always be to bring people back to Christ. He must be our focus. He must be the beginning and the end. We can't get involved in senseless quarrels and debates about differences and doctrines if our aim is only to win a fight Or if our aim is only to win a power struggle, to be more clever, to be better than someone else, and not to lead people back to Christ. And of course, to be able to do this, the self-sacrificial love of Christ must first be in our own hearts. You must realize that the only reason that we can know the truth, the only reason that we have the truth, is not because I am so great, or because I studied so hard, or because I am so clever, but only because of the love of Christ, because of His mercy and His grace. And that will make me humble. That will make that I won't look down my nose at someone else who does not have the truth. If the love of Christ is not the aim of our fight and our fight against false doctrines, we are no different than any other person in this world. And that is why the second part of this verse is also so important. There we read, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." The second part of this verse gives us three things. Three things that are on the one side a test for ourselves, a test that we can test our own hearts, but on the other side is also the aim, the motive, the reason for being or for doing the charge that Paul gave us. So let's see what is this thing. To really have this kind of love that we just spoke of, we need firstly a pure heart. And to have this pure heart, we once again have to look at Jesus. Talking about Jesus, Paul writes in Titus 2 verse 14, "He who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works." By nature, no one of us has got a pure heart. By nature, all people are focused on themselves. All people have false motives and false evil motives, and all people have wrong motives for doing what we do. And that is why so many of our attempts to set things that are wrong right so often ends up in fights and quarrels. Because so often we do that from a wrong motive. We need Jesus to purify our hearts, to clean us from our sins and our false motives, so that we can be zealous for good works. Not just to drive our own agendas, not just to do what we think we want to do, but to do what Jesus teaches us. So our first test for our hearts is to test our own hearts. To ask ourselves if we are doing what we are doing through a pure heart, a heart that are longing after the love of Christ and has been changed by the love of Christ and by the Holy Spirit. We must ask ourselves if that is the aim when we get into a discussion with someone who is teaching something that is not right. Do we want to bring them back to a place where they do what they do out of a pure heart? Second test, it's a test of our conscience. Paul says that the aim of this charge is to bring forth a good conscience. One of the commentaries puts it as follows. The good conscience is more than an empty and blameless conscience. It is also more than the pure and the simple heart of the Old Testament righteous. In all probability, the author has in view the renewal of man by the new creation in faith, which embraces the whole life of the Christian. To put it in a simpler way, a good conscience means that your whole life is a testimony to the renewing work that Christ is doing in your life. And this makes the application easy. When you are engaging with a person who is proclaiming a different or a false gospel, you must do that because you sincerely want that person to experience the renewing work of Christ in and through them. That must be the motive. And not just because you want to win a fight. good conscience is when you live a life not just to think, or not at all to think, that you can deserve something through that, but because the Holy Spirit is on a path renewing you from day to day. And that must be what we are seeking for people who are not preaching a true gospel. Good conscience is the second test for our motives. The third and the last test is a sincere faith. Some translations speak of an authentic faith. Point here is that a true, genuine, honest, deep faith is unnegotiable if you want to faint for the truth. Not only because you need this faith if you want to act out of true love, but also because you want to lead the other person to this sincere faith in and through Christ alone. And that, of course, can't be done without the Holy Spirit daily renewing our hearts and guiding us as we can hold on to this sincere faith. So the third test is a sincere faith. Trusting Christ and the Holy Spirit and not yourself and your own abilities to do good. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time where there are many different doctrines. I think in your context even more so than in mine, probably. And we are under the obligation to seek the truth, to charge people who are teaching a false gospel. We must do that. We must always be seeking the truth. But the aim may never be to win a fight or to cause division or to be part of a power struggle. The aim is to bring forth love, true love that points us to Christ and that comes from Christ. Because He is love. Therefore, we must always test ourselves and ask, do I have in my work that I'm doing, if I take on this challenge to fend for the truth, do I do it from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith? You as students that are training yourself to become ministers, or already ministers that are equipping yourself further, may the Holy Spirit lead you to fight this fight with this attitude and with this motivation. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we come stand as humble servants. Father, we have to admit and confess that we, in so many times that we fend for the truth or that we get involved in conversations, that we do so with wrong motives, that we do so to win a fight, or that we do so because we want to show off our knowledge or what we have learned. In so many cases, we don't do this as you wish to. We thank you, Father, that we can have your word and that you teach us through your word, and that we can once again realize that we are supposed to fend for the truth, but with right motives. The aim of that is to bring love, and we pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, will work this love in our hearts in the first place. That we will see Jesus, and that we will see the work that He has done for us, and that we will follow in His footsteps. We pray for a pure heart and for a good conscience, and we also pray for a sincere faith. Guide us so that we don't rely on our own good works or on anything else, but on your work. And that we believe that that is our Savior, our saving. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we can learn from your word. We pray that everyone here that is equipping him or herself to be servants in your kingdom, that you will guide them, that you will guide us so that we do really explain and explore and really take your truth to the world. The truth that can set free. The truth that can bring healing to a society that needs healing. The truth that can bring salvation to those who are lost. May we proclaim that in all that we are doing with a good conscience and with the right aim. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.